continued interest in your prayers. I'm going to go to a passage tonight that I've touched on a little bit, a couple of times here lately, but for some reason this is still with me. So maybe somebody needs this, or maybe I need this. But in John chapter 11, I'll try to have a little mercy on you tonight and just stay in this chapter for the most part. I'll mention other scriptures, and I might go to another scripture, but I want to stay primarily in John chapter 11 tonight. Let's study this together. This is one of the last, if not the last, miracle that Jesus performed before he went to the cross. His ministry is just about ended, as far as up until, you know, it's about a week before the crucifixion. So he's taught many things, performed many miracles. And we come down to, you know, he's raised several, or before this, he's raised at least two from the dead. And one of them was the only son of the widow of Nain. He touched the coffin and the young man stood up. The other was Jairus' daughter. And of course she had just recently passed. Now, I'm not saying that just because they had just died that it was easier to raise them from the dead. I mean, we are talking about raising somebody from the dead. But in this chapter, we're going to find Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Now, if you're a good Bible student, you know that there's something about after 3 days. Because after 3 days, corruption sets in on the body. All right? We'll get to that perhaps in a little bit. But John chapter 11, hope you found it by now. Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick. You know, the Bible oftentimes refers to people when we're about to have a lesson, it'll say something like a certain man, certain woman. In other words, God has a purpose for this. This is not just chance. God has a purpose for this certain man and what's about to happen. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Do you remember these two sisters? There was a time when Jesus was in their home. Do you remember how they were described? They were preparing a meal, and Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Now, that's not all bad. As a matter of fact, it's commendable. But if you had the opportunity for the Lord to be at your house, now I understand they had no idea of knowing that he wasn't going to be with them long unless he'd already told them, and maybe he had, I don't know. But the Lord was going to be at their house for a short period of time. Don't you think that some things could wait while he's there? I do too. But she was cumbered about with much serving. But where was Mary? Mary was at his feet listening. She was taking it in. She was taking advantage. Now, I don't know how industrious she was as far as taking care of the affairs of the house and all that. But I know at this point, because of what the Bible says, and that's over in Luke chapter 10, I believe it is, what the Bible says, she was sitting at Jesus' feet hearing him. And Martha complained about that. Said, Lord, bid my sister that she help me. Remember that? And Jesus said, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. But Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We might, in our way of saying, Martha. Mary's chosen that good part. And I'm not going to tell her to get up and go do these menial tasks while I'm here. She had chosen that good part. So you know what that tells me? There are times like this where we have the opportunity to worship. Let's don't miss that opportunity. There's time for those other things later. Okay? Haven't we all seen sometimes when we get together for church and somebody's popping up and going out, coming back in, popping up. I mean, they don't have time for church. This is our hour for worship. Now, Sunday morning, whenever it might be, whenever it's our opportunity for worship, let's take advantage of that time. Okay? That's what Mary was doing. Martha was. So that's the Mary and Martha that we're talking about here. And they've got a brother named Lazarus, right? Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. In parentheses, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Do you remember that? Mary came in on that occasion. She had a very costly ointment. 300 pence, I believe it was worth. Over 300. Now, do you know what that means? If I understand it right, wages in that day, it was common that it was a penny a day. And this was worth over 300 of that. Well, 300 days, that's not far from a year, is it? So that's almost, and we don't know how much over 300 it was worth, so it was almost a year's wages worth that she was willing to open this up and pour it on Jesus and anoint him. Now, the reason I say that is because it gives you some idea of how much she valued that opportunity to do this for her Lord. This was not a light thing. Okay? So she loved the Lord. And so when Jesus was there in their home, she took advantage of listening to his words. All right, so these are the Mary and Martha and Lazarus. These are the ones that are involved here in this family that's being mentioned. And Lazarus, this certain man, where he is sick on this occasion. Well, if Lazarus is sick, and I mean very sick, obviously, as you keep reading, you'll find he was very sick. What would you do? What would you do in that day if you knew Jesus? Wouldn't you send for him? I would. They knew him well. He was close to them. They understood he had power to heal disease, restore blindness, cure leprosy, all those things that he was going about doing, and now someone that they were, he was very close to them in the natural sense here, and they send for him. He's sick. You know, they expect he's going to come, all right? All right, so he's sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, now, Jesus is not there. He's off somewhere else. We're going to find he's a couple of miles away. And when they got word to him, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. The sickness is not unto death. That doesn't mean he's not going to die. It means he's not going to stay there. It's not unto death, but for the glory of God. And this is a big part of the lesson here. For the glory of God. And we'll get back to that in a little while. Now Jesus, let's see, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's the reason for this lesson. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Well, doesn't God love all of his people? Yes, he does. But this is telling us here that he was close to them. You know, there were some of the apostles that he seemed to have, I've heard them referred to as his inner circle. You know, some that were called James, Peter, and John. There were a number of times when Jesus would do something, he would take James, Peter, and John aside and do that. He took them up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. All right. You know, there's a lot of people that we love, but there's other people that we're closer to. And that's what this is saying. All right. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Isn't that interesting? He didn't come immediately. You know, that tells us something. The Lord works on his timetable, not ours. Every time. All right? Then after that, after these 2 days, then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Yes. He said, let's go. The Lord never was jesting about anything. All right? He always spoke pure words of truth. And Jesus answered, are not 12 hours in the day? Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, he's using a natural illustration. In that day, they didn't have lights like this. They didn't have electricity. So most of their activity needed to be done in the daytime when the sun gave light for them to do it. Okay, but the spiritual lesson here is his ministry is just about over. I think it's John 9, he talks about, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So his time was coming short. The Lord sent him to do a work. And we don't know how precise everything along the way. I suspect that everything he did was right on time, right? And we know that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law. So God purposed for the work of his son, and he said, I do always those things which please him. So he was always doing what the Father would have him to do. So he was going to do this. He had a certain amount of time. There was a certain time for him to be crucified, a certain time for him to die. So he only had a little time. I mean, this is like a week before his crucifixion. So this illustration about 12 hours in the day, he's about to the end of that. All right? These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepest, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. And sleep is good for the body, right? But then the Lord said, then it says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of him taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Now, let's spend a minute here on this language. Lazarus sleepeth, the Lord said. Is that the truth? Absolutely. It wouldn't have been the truth for us to say, you know, that, because we didn't have the power that Jesus did. Jesus was going to wake him from that sleep. But those that are asleep in Jesus, the Bible elsewhere speaks about those that are asleep in Jesus. All right? Those that are asleep in him. He's going to wake us up someday, isn't he? When he comes back, and when, you know, he gives the life-giving voice of the Son of God, John 5:25, to awaken us from a death and sins to a life in Christ. But a few verses later, he says, the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. So he's calling all from the graves at some point. But here's something special regarding Lazarus, and he's planning to awaken him, but he had to make it plain to them that he's dead. As far as we're concerned, he's dead. All right? But then verse 15, he says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent, if we keep reading, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent, ye may believe. Do you think these disciples are going to be strengthened by this experience? I do. Because of what he just said. Now, you know, it's one thing to believe, but it's another to be more firmly persuaded. I'm satisfied because of what Peter had said on occasions and the others agreed with him. I'm satisfied they believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But you know, when they were in that ship and the great storm arose and the ship was filling up with water, and they came to the master and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind. And there was a great calm. Just like that. A great calm. Do you remember what they said? What manner of man is this? That the wind and the sea obey him. You see, they had a lot to learn. And they still had some things to learn right here a week before crucifixion. So he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, when the Lord said, mentioned that they were going there, they said, Lord, the Jews here of late would plan to stone you, and you're going to go there? So it's possible here that they were talking about, you know, they may die if they go there. Okay? Thomas may be thinking here, you know, that they would suffer the same fate, you know. But what the Lord said, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. All right? Remember I said, after 3 days, corruption sets into the body. Okay, that was why Jesus only stayed 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. And he saw no corruption. All right? Verse 18, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's about 2 miles. Now, a healthy person might walk 3 to 4 miles an hour. So it wasn't a great distance here. It wasn't like he did everything he could, but he didn't get there in time. The Lord's just doing this according to his own will, according to his own purpose, to teach the lesson that he intended. All right, so they were about 2 miles away, or at least Bethany was that far from Jerusalem. We don't know what part of Jerusalem and what part of Bethany we're talking about here, but it's not a great distance. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Well, I believe that's a true statement, because I don't know of anybody that died in Jesus' presence. When he was on the cross, there was one on each side of him that died, but he was already dead. So I don't know of anybody that ever died in Jesus' presence. Okay. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died, Martha said. But I know, verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, yes, Martha was cumbered about with much serving, but she has a good understanding. She knew whatever the Lord asked of the Father, he would give it. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Wow. Isn't that the best news you could hear? I mean, they wanted Jesus to come while he was sick and heal him. Well, now that he's dead, what better news could they have gotten but that Jesus would say, thy brother shall rise again? But there seems to be a little, a bit of hesitancy in Martha thinking that he's going to rise again right then. Because she says, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Sounds like to me they'd given up on the Lord. That now they're already thinking about the resurrection and trying to find some comfort in that. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. You know, in John 14, Jesus is going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's got power over life and death. All right? So he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, there is no resurrection apart from Jesus. Yes, it's his voice that's going to call all that are in the graves at the last day. But it's also his voice, if he so chooses, that he can call the dead to life at any moment. So Martha's already thinking about the resurrection at the last day, but he says, thy brother shall rise again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's true at the end of time as far as the resurrection is concerned. But we're about to find out it's also true whenever the Lord pleases. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, I think I've mentioned this last time we covered this. It's not an unusual thing for us to see our loved ones pass the scene of this life. And as far as we can see, they've died. Because all we can see is what's in this world. But the Lord knows not only what's in this world, but also in the one to come. As a matter of fact, he came down from heaven. When the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, he came down. He came to do the Father's will. And all power is given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. And so we find that he says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And if we understand, for those that are born of the Spirit, those that have the Spirit of God in them, when they breathe out their last here upon this earth, their soul and spirit immediately goes to be with God. And Jesus described that as paradise. He told the thief at his side, when that thief eventually, even though both of them had been railing upon Jesus at one point, that one of those thieves rebuked the other and said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Jesus didn't tell that man, I'm sorry, but you waited too late. I'm sorry, but you messed up too bad. The Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And as soon as that thief breathed out his last, he was with Jesus in paradise. Now I'll tell you something. I don't know of anything of more comfort when we have to say goodbye to our loved ones to understand that it's really not goodbye. It's just so long. Their soul and spirit hasn't died. What made them them is in heaven's pure world, in soul and spirit, awaiting the resurrection. But they're in the presence of the Lord right then. They're not in some halfway house where somebody's got to pray them out so that they can get to heaven. They're not waiting for somebody to pray enough so that they can finally get in. No, immediately, when they breathe out their last, they awake in his presence, awaiting the resurrection. Because when Jesus comes again, he's bringing the souls and spirits of those that are departed, those that are asleep in Jesus, he's bringing those souls and spirits with him. All right? But he says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. In that sense, they don't see death. They just depart this life and immediately are in the presence of God. Isn't that comforting? All right. And then he says, believest thou this? Do you believe that tonight? All right. How glorious is that, by the way? All right, we'll come back to that. Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's a mouthful. Thou art the Christ, not just Jesus, but the Christ. That meant the Messiah. That meant the anointed one. That meant the one that would come, that God would send. All right? Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now that's saying a lot. Because she understood who Jesus really was. Now, do you remember John the Baptist? Do you remember there was a time when he was sitting in prison? And he wasn't going to be living much longer. I don't think he knew that, unless the Lord revealed it to him. But he was in prison. And he sent word to Jesus. He sent some of his disciples to Jesus. Do you remember what John wanted to know? Art thou he that should come? Isn't that what Martha just said? She believed that he was the one that was to come. But John says, art thou he that should come? Now, I'm not, I don't believe that John didn't believe that. But I do think that John wanted some confirmation. He wanted some assurance. He wanted to be reminded. And I say that because Jesus said of John, there's not a greater prophet born of women than John the Baptist. But you know, we get discouraged in this life, don't we? There's times we get cast down. There's times that what we see maybe it doesn't make sense or it's hard for us to deal with. And we just want some of those tokens, some of those reminders. We need that to lift our spirits. And that's what God's people need to be for one another. We need to be encouragers. We need to be load lifters. We need to be someone that can speak an encouraging word or just remind each other that we love each other. We're in this world together. God has called us out from the darkness into his marvelous light. And we're to live together in according to his word and do those things which are pleasing in his sight and seek to do that which would bring forth glory to his name. And we need one another as we go about doing that each day. We need the prayers of those we love. We need to be praying for those we love. We need one another. Of course, the Lord did some miracles. And then he told those two disciples, now go show. Not just tell him, but go show John again these things. The lame walk, the blind see. All those evidences that God gave him on that occasion. Go show John again those things. Isn't it good to be reminded of God's power, of his love, his mercy, his grace. Yes, we need to be reminded of that. Well, Martha said, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. She had an understanding what he had to, that it was prophesied that he would come, that he was here, and he was doing what the Father sent him to do. She believed that. And upon that, she left and went to see Mary. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. There she is again, at the feet of Jesus. I can't think of a better place to be, can you? Saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." No doubt their hearts were breaking. No doubt that was the thought. Maybe they'd even discussed it. "Lord, if we could just get word to Jesus, he can heal our brother." They knew he could. There was no doubt in their mind that he could heal their brother. And both of them have witnessed to that by saying, "If you'd have been here, our brother had not died." Well, that's true. But that wasn't his purpose. He has a higher purpose for this experience. And for a while, they were going to be in sorrow. But he knows what he's going to do. And he's well able to do it. And he has a reason for it. We may not know it. We may never know it, but he has a reason for everything he does. And you can rest assured, whatever that reason is, it's the best reason there could be. Period. All right? So Mary, just like Martha, says, "Lord, if you'd been here, our brother had not died." You should notice something. We don't have a record that Jesus said very much at all to Mary. He talked with Martha, but there's not much here he's going to say to Mary. But Mary is that yielded spirit that's at his feet, and whatever he says is going to be okay. Whatever. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He loved them. He's manifesting that. He loved them. They're grieving tremendously. He knows what he's going to do. And it was necessary for this to happen in this way, because he purposely waited 2 more days to come. But they were hurting. They were weeping. Their hearts were broken. They didn't know what was going to happen. But at least we see Mary at Jesus' feet. And to me, that just says, "Lord, whatever your will is, I'm resigned to it." Amen. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Then the shortest verse in the Bible, isn't it? Two words. Jesus wept. I think I've already dealt with that. He loved them. He knew what he was going to do, but they were hurting. And you know, the scripture says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched. Now, he knows what he's going to do, but he's still touched by what they were experiencing. Isn't that good to know? I think I've shared with you before the story I heard about Elder Sonny Pyle years ago. He was off on a preaching trip, as he quite often was, and his granddaughter had a question for him over the phone. His granddaughter asked, "Why did Jesus have to suffer? I mean, he was perfect. He never did anything wrong. He always went about doing good. Why did he have to suffer?" Well, Brother Sonny's answer to that question was this: Jesus suffered so we would know that he knows what it's like to suffer. He suffered so that we would know that he knows what it's like to suffer. And he does. He suffered tremendously for us. But I'm going to tell you something. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And when we suffer, he's touched by that. He's affected by that. Now, he knows all things, but he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus wept. That wasn't crocodile tears. That was sincere feelings. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." You know, so not only is he touched by the feelings of the infirmities of Martha and Mary, Lazarus had to suffer in this too, didn't he? And he did love them. Scripture says he did. And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Can you answer that question? Yes, he could have. At least he had the power to, but it wasn't God's will for that to be the case, so no, he couldn't have done that. Because he did always those things which pleased the Father. There was a purpose for this to be done. Remember what he told the disciples? "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Remember that? This is going to end up for the glory of God. All right? So, they're asking, couldn't he have caused this person not to have died? "Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh." It had been beyond 3 days. Corruption has set in. The body's begun to deteriorate. Well, he knew that. He made these bodies. Okay. "By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee," listen, "said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Now, I got to pause right there. We don't have any record. We don't have it recorded that he actually said those words, that if she would believe, she'd see the glory of God. We don't have that written. But what we do have written, we can take from that, that what he's saying by that would be them seeing the glory of God. Right? All right, so what did he say to Martha? He said, thy brother shall rise again. Well, that's glory to God, isn't it? He's dead. Corruption set in. By now he stinketh. But he's going to rise from the dead. Isn't that the glory of God? Only God can do that. Only Jesus could call him from the grave. Jesus being God, only Jesus could call him from the dead. That's the glory of God. So he said, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Are you starting to get an idea of what Jesus meant when he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God? Yes. So that they could believe. They could more firmly, no matter what level of understanding they had, they would more firmly believe that Jesus is the Christ, he has power over death, and he is able to raise the dead. It was not only important for Lazarus, but what about us? Can Jesus raise us from the dead if he tarries longer than we're going to live here in this earth? Oh, yes. He did it then. He raised himself from the dead. He can do it at the end of time. All right. So he said, then they took away the stone from the place. All right. Jesus said what he did to the Father, that they may believe. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now this time he cried with a loud voice. I believe he wanted everybody there to hear it. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. All my life I've heard preachers say it's a good thing he said Lazarus, so they'd all come out of that grave, out of the cemetery. Whatever. But he said Lazarus. You know why? Because there was a certain man. This chapter began by saying there was a certain man, Lazarus. God intended to raise Lazarus from the dead. This sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. And so Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Did he? And he that was dead came forth. That's plain enough. But listen to how he came forth. He didn't walk out of that grave. He didn't climb out of that grave. He came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. They had wrapped his body in that fine linen. Remember when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had prepared his body for burial? They had wrapped it in fine linen. Wrapped it. And that's how he came out. Wrapped up like that. So it seems reasonable to me that he floated out of there. He wasn't walking. He was still bound by the grave clothes. Well, if he raised him from the dead, there's no problem for him to just bring him out in the grave clothes, right? Okay. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Okay. I'm sorry. I got off track a while ago when I was talking about Joseph and I'm sorry, I mixed that in, Joseph and Nicodemus. That's what they did for Jesus. But in a similar fashion, to what I was trying to get to, Lazarus was bound, and he had this napkin across his face. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Loose him. All right? Jesus is the one who raised him. He had the power to bring him forth from the dead. But he told them there, loose him and let him go. And you know, as ministers of the gospel, we can't raise the dead. But by the teaching of the scriptures, we can loose those that are bound and let them go. All right? So what he's saying, then many of the Jews, all right, remember now, I'm coming back to this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. All right? Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if they had all believed? But it said many. Many of them believed. The next, the very next verse says, but. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Here is one of the most glorious things that Jesus did during his ministry. Raising someone from the dead that had been dead for 4 days. And while there were many there that were rejoicing over this, and many there that believed in the Lord Jesus, there were others that didn't wait to run to the Pharisees and tell them what had happened. Time's about gone, but we find a number of verses here that describes how when the word got back to the Pharisees, then they determined, once again, just like they had done early in his ministry, it didn't take very long for them to decide they wanted to kill the Lord Jesus. And so they began to plan. They began to, let me just read a couple of verses. Verse 47, then gathered the chief priests of the Pharisees in council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." See what was happening? As more and more rejoicing in what Jesus did, those Pharisees, the Jews, they saw their world being taken from them. Well, it wasn't going to be long. Years after Jesus' resurrection, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, 70 AD. But before that time, Jesus had announced to them that, behold, the kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. What nation was that kingdom taken or given to? Was it not to the believers? Those that have the Spirit of God in them, that are able to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that could see the kingdom of God in that spiritual sense. Yes, the nation was taken from the Jews and given to that nation, that bringing forth the fruits thereof. And it was the nation of believers, those born of the Spirit of God, those who are able to see Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bless your hearts, they're the ones now in this kingdom. And so we find the Jews, the rest of this chapter, they begin to make their plans how they could destroy Jesus. But I want to go back to the very purpose of that miracle that Jesus performed. That sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. That the Son of Man, the Son of God, might be glorified thereby. Bless your hearts. No matter what we face in this life, no matter what sorrows or heartaches we face, if we can just remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the resurrection. He was able to raise the dead. Someday when the trials of this life are over, He's going to call. He's going to come back. He's going to raise these bodies. And for those that He died for, He's going to fashion them like unto His glorious body. Remember, was it Philippians 1:23? I believe it is. Let me see. I get it. It says, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Bless your heart, on that occasion He showed His power over death. He raised Lazarus, even though he had seen corruption, He raised him from the dead. Bless your hearts, when He comes again, He's going to change these vile bodies. This corruptible is going to be made incorruptible. This mortal is going to be made immortal. And He's going to take us home to be with Him. Do you believe that? Yes. If you're able to believe that, bless your hearts, you're one of His children. You have the Spirit of God in you. And when He comes back, He's coming back to get you and take you home to be with Him forever. May God help us to rejoice in our Savior who has power over death. That is the glory of God. That He's made life, He has life in Himself, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. And He has the power over life and death. I hope that I've stirred your mind. I hope that I've reminded you of some of these precious truths. I hope that we can rejoice in those things each day when we remember that this is the glory of God, that He alone has power over death. May God bless you, is our prayer.